You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Hello, Joshua.
Looking forward to it.
We would say that it's most important for you to understand how the system works, the entire system of the universe, the entire backstory, who you truly are, how everything is put together, why you're here, and how to be effective in living your life in physical reality. So there is the non-physical and the physical. There is nothing wrong. Everything is right. There is a sense of duality that you may have from a physical perspective, but from the non-physical perspective, it's neutral. Everything is even. You come forth as an explorer. You are never alone. You are guided on every step of that exploration. You feel fear in the physical, while in the non-physical, fear is not present. It's not an aspect of that reality. In physical reality, fear is the aspect, and this is good. This makes it seem real. This makes it seem intense. This gives you something to move towards. This gives you something to think about it. It causes the human to use their mind in a way to solve problems. And without fear, there would be no problems to solve. And yet all of it is an illusion. Now, how can you reconcile the fact that there's fear and that fear is an illusion? Well, you have guidance, and that guidance comes from your inner self. The effective human operates in unison, in tandem with the non-physical inner self. The inner self can see your life from a higher perspective, knows everything you desire, knows exactly how to get you there, and will present you with ideas and inspiration and thoughts, present you with thoughts streaming from a consciousness based in love, streaming from the higher perspective, streaming into the divine moment when you receive that thought. Now, if you had gone along as a human perceiving that you're an individual, that you have no guidance, that you have to make it on your own, then the world will seem scary to you and you will spend your life as a victim trying to protect yourself. As the creator of your reality that you are, knowing that you're never alone, knowing that you're powerful beyond measure, knowing that you have access to all of the inspiration that will lead you forward into a true path, an inspired path of self-discovery, then you can recognize those thoughts. You can recognize that inspiration. This is something that the vast majority of humans are unaware of. They are unaware of their inner self. They are unaware of the guidance that is always flowing. They are unaware that they are never alone. They perceive themselves differently than you perceive yourself. You are now starting to perceive yourself as larger, grander, more magnificent, more powerful, more capable. And as you tune into that which you prefer, that which you think is good, that which you desire, as you follow along your interests and passions, as you leave the rest of it alone for everyone else to figure out and to play with as they choose, if you start moving on your path of self-discovery, leaving alone those who cannot see you for who you truly are, and will not appreciate always the fact that you are charting a new course. You are not listening to the same old stuff that they're listening to. You are not falling prey to the fear that so easily fools them. You are thinking for yourself. You have a little bit more information than they do. You can choose to hook into that stream of consciousness of source of your inner self whenever you have a question. And we will tell you right now that for you specifically, each of you, you have a unique inner self, which is you existing in the non-physical simultaneous to you existing in the physical. And if you will allow the information, the intelligence that you need to navigate your reality, to explore who you truly are, well, then everything will flow forth easily and effortlessly. But in those times when you're in fear, you disconnect from that. You go back to the old approach. You go back to how you were before you knew this information. And you say, well, Joshua, how do we know this is real? Well, whenever you have an inspired idea and you realize that it's you giving yourself that idea, and you act on that idea, it will bring you further along in an expansive way to discover who you truly are every single time. It will never fail you. When you choose not to act on those things, nothing bad or wrong will happen, except you'll have the feeling that you're stuck, the feeling that you're not moving forward, the feeling that you're going backwards into the old approach to life. And at any time you choose to grasp for the inner you that is always with you, to hold on to any thread of thought that comes from that, and to consciously choose not to allow the distractions of society, of media, of habits, of anything else that was pulling you apart from that stream of intelligence coming forward, you will gain momentum and you will strengthen that connection to your inner self, and it will go stronger and more loving to the point when you have to accept that this for me is true. And while others will not be able to comprehend what is happening with you, you can know that they all have their own inner self themselves. And you can know that just because they are distracted and they are choosing to live in fear, that they don't acknowledge that stream of consciousness as coming from an inner self that exists in a higher plane, a higher reality. Not a superior reality, just a higher reality from a perspective point of view. And while you are starting to embrace these ideas and these teachings and incorporate them into the very fiber of your being, you cannot worry about them. You cannot wish that things were different from them, because the moment you do, you will hook yourself into a stream of consciousness that is not beneficial. It is just going to give you urges, doubts, fears, want you to change the conditions. If you can accept that everything is right, that is your baseline platform of creation. Accepting that everything is right, that everything is good, that everything is working out for you. And then that connection to source consciousness, to your inner self's communication, to the only knowledge that you will ever need, the only intelligence that you will ever need, well, that will just grow and grow and grow. And in a few years, you'll be what we call a blended being. And a blended being is one who is in such sync with the ideas and thoughts coming from their inner self and not attached to any distractions, that they will move in unison with those ideas and live a highly effective life. And with that, we'd like to talk to you about anything you'd like to talk about. Who would like to start?
I would like to start.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Winnie.
Go ahead. Okay. So I have this question about accepting everything that's coming. And then, for instance, I get information here about the vaccines on the COVID-19. And then it's going to be, so you won't have a choice to take the vaccines and stuff like that. And then I think, oh, I have to go to the politics or do something. And that is not, I'm a bit confused in the way of accepting everything and falling asleep. You know what I mean?
Are you being faced with that, what you would call a problem, in this moment?
No.
Then disregard it.
Okay.
When it comes to the time when someone shows up at your door with a needle, then you will be guided to what to do. You'll be guided in every sense. But if you're in fear of this happening in the future, then you are living in the present in a way that disconnects yourself from your inner self, disconnects yourself from the stream of consciousness of source, disconnects yourself from feeling good. And then you're diving down into that lower emotional state of being. You're existing in a state of consciousness based in fear or lack, and you're receiving doubts, fears, desires to fight against what is not happening right now. That is simply the illusion. So whenever you read something that says, this may happen in the future, you don't need to pay attention to that. What is happening now? That's all you have to be aware of. Is the sun shining? Are the birds chirping? Are you free now? Then enjoy that now. And you will see, without focusing on what you think bad could happen down the road, it'll never happen. It'll just never come to you. Because unless it's needed for your exploration, the exploration of fighting against this bad thing that could happen to me, from my perspective, it's bad. Well, that just gives more energy to this thing, because the universe is acknowledging that this is a new topic of exploration for you. And since you are fully abundant, the universe is going to bring you more and more, more articles, more people talking about it, more whispers, more worries. You see, if you say everything is fine now, I will be guided every step along the way there to my higher purpose. And if my higher purpose is to experience that, well, I'll be ready for it at that time, because I will have gone through enough expansive experiences to be ready for it at that time. But from your perspective now, the one who has not gone through those expansive experiences, it seems fearful. You don't have all the information. You don't know what's going to happen. So let it go. Your inner self will guide you every step of the way.
Okay. Thank you.
Excellent.
Who's Can next? I go next?
Yes.
Can I go? Hi, Joshua. Hi. So I had a question regarding the meditations. There was one line that said, I believe it was in the relationship meditation, that says, everything you need is in your heart or will be provided to you when you need it. So I get the second part. I was wondering about the first part, if I understood it correctly. Does it mean that all you need to do is express your love, because that's in your heart?
Exactly. All you are here to do is express your love. Mm-hmm. Yet you wish to control how that love is received, how the other person responds to you, and all these things. Mm-hmm. This is the confusion of it, because you've been taught to be good in order to receive love. And yet you've never came to receive love, because the love does not exist outside of you. In fact, nothing actually lives outside of you. Nothing exists outside of you. So if you had someone come over and express their love to you, if you didn't feel it about yourself, you would not interpret it as true love. You would interpret it as manipulation. They are trying to get something out of me. So it exists in your heart. And how big can you make that heart? And in that idea of love, it's not romantic love. It's not what you think love is. It's acceptance. How can I accept who I am now? In the fullest, how can I see all the beauty that exists within me now? How can I appreciate my inner self who is with me now? How can I appreciate Source? How can I appreciate this planet I've created? You are Source. You are all. You are all. You're not an individual. So think of yourself as Source sitting right beside you. Source does not need validation from anyone else. Source does not need to be accepted from anyone else. Source is all there is.
Right. Why is it in your heart, though? Why does it say everything you need is in your heart?
What would you prefer, in your thumb or in your mind or in your pinky toe?
So it's just about the love.
It's just about your acknowledgement that love exists in the heart. Mm-hmm, and we would say it's not inaccurate, but love exists in every fiber of every being, of every cell within your body. Love is the basis of all that is good and positive and beneficial and exciting and exhilarating and all that. Acceptance is the platform on which love is experienced. And so if you can acknowledge that all love would start with acceptance, then you first accept yourself, you accept all others as they are, you accept the good and the bad, even in your perspective, knowing there is no good or bad. You accept yourself for any judgment. You accept yourself for any negative emotion. You accept yourself for any mistakes. You accept yourself fully, you see. Because in the damning of yourself, of the conditions, of all others, you do not allow yourself to link into that consciousness that will lead you forward in your journey of self-discovery. It's the basis is acceptance. Acceptance. Not fixing a problem, because the problems will never end. They'll just go one after the other. Not being a different way, because you will have to be a different way with every single person you meet. Being yourself as you are with all others and letting them have their opinions of you and not needing them to approve of you and not caring if they disapprove of you and understanding that if they approve of you, it's based in their unique set of beliefs. And if they disapprove of you, it's based in their unique set of beliefs. And you have no control over any of that. Now, you must also know that you, as a advanced spiritual leader and teacher and explorer, that you will attract a broad spectrum of people to you. And they will all come to you from their perspective. Some will be like-minded. And they will reflect back to you what you believe. Some will be those who perceive you as weird. And they will reflect back to you how you see yourself. Because you've been programmed and programmed and programmed to conform. All of you have. Programmed and programmed to conform, 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 conform. And now you're entertaining the possibility that conformity is completely useless and not part of what you came here to explore. That you came here to explore pure freedom, and that pure freedom exists in your being true to who you authentically are. And if you ever want to think about who that would be, think about how you exist in the non-physical. Think about how your inner self exists. Think about how Source exists. Think about how the sun and moon exist. Think about how the mountains exist. Think about how the animals exist. They never need to be anything different than they are, because they are not in fear of
judgment.
Judgment, which equals fear of death, you see. The death of the persona that you've created. I've created this persona in order to be liked. If I'm judged on this, then that kills the persona, which is exact. And that's the fear of loss. The fear of death is the fear of loss. It all boils down to the fear of loss. You cannot lose. You're always expanding. You're always growing more. You're always into the new. The exploration of the new kind of requires the loss of the old, except the old can never be lost because you carry it with you in your vibration. It's weightless. It's easy. It's just an experience. It doesn't define you ever, but it has led you on this path, and it has led you to where you are now. So if you want to use the term heart, you can. If you want to use the term solar plexus, you sort of feel it in that midsection, don't you?
Sure. So
when we say the word heart, most humans can identify with that term. But
yes.
None of this is the body. It's just your vessel. Your love doesn't exist in the engine of your car any more than it exists in your heart. But yet, if you can feel it here and imagine it here and express it from here and understand that it can vibrationally get bigger and bigger than you think, and that comes from simply accepting yourself, because in the acceptance of yourself, you're practicing unconditional love.
Right. Okay. Awesome. Thank you so very much.
Excellent. Who'd like to go next?
I'd like to ask some questions or try to get some clarity, I guess. I I'm really enjoying this conversation. I can feel my vibration rising. I started this conversation or came into this conversation having written down a whole bunch of things that I'm feeling not well about right now and trying to find even some clarity about what the heck it is. There is an unsureness that is somehow, and it surprises me. I don't know where it comes from. Like, where does this come from?
Unsureness? Why would you ever want sureness?
Well, I guess
sureness would imply that you know how it works out. So what you would want is a little faith.
Okay.
A little faith in that what you're learning resonates with who you truly are. And that your recognition of this information is caused because it's a remembrance of what you knew coming in, you see. Now, you're trying to apply it, and you're exploring how to apply this information. And sometimes it's working, and sometimes it's not working, and sometimes you have clarity, and sometimes you're confused. Sometimes you're in acceptance and love, and sometimes you're in fear and doubt. And that's part of your exploration. You don't want to just get it. You want to explore it. You want to receive the ideas, mull them through intellectually, and then live your life and see what you could apply here and there and see where you're resistant here and there. This is an amazing feat where it's a feat of awareness and awakening. And you got yourself here. How did that happen? How is that possible? Because you were connected enough to your inner self to allow you to take the steps that got here. Where's everyone else? They're exploring, yet they're exploring who they are not. They are exploring limitation and lack, no matter where they are. It's very, very few of you who are focusing on what you prefer and allowing the rest to deal with what they prefer, or what they don't prefer, either way. You're exploring this idea of limitlessness. They're exploring the idea of limitation. You're exploring the idea of freedom. They're not, you see. And so are you going to have manifestation events? Certainly, because your perspective will always be based in this limited nature of the individual human, because this is how you've been programmed over the years and years and years. And to erase that would not only be desired, because if you erased it, it's exactly the same as when you transition to the non-physical. When you transition to the non-physical, that limited perspective will be gone. It's erased. You will no longer get to play around in this reality, experiencing fear and analyzing it, understanding you have limiting beliefs and processing them. In the non-physical, you don't take the limiting beliefs with you. In the non-physical, there's nothing to fear. Well, certainly you play with ideas, but it's not as tangible, as real as this. It's not, we would say, as interesting as this. So if you have one example, we'd love to go through it with you. And what we will say is any negative emotion is your guidance letting you know that you're choosing a limited perspective on the subject because it's based on a limiting belief that does not have enough information.
Okay. Thank you for that. You've kind of answered it already. The idea of feeling like I'm stuck. Am I ever going to receive inspired thoughts and follow them? Because sometimes I feel a really sense of an unworthiness. There's so many themes that come into this. When someone asks me what I'm doing and I say, well, I'm following inspired thought, and then I feel, don't ask me because it's not going to make sense what I say to you, and I don't know that I'm getting them.
And how did the person show up in your reality? To show you that you're still living that old approach to life where in order to show off, you, especially what you've learned, you have to have some tangible numbers to show them.
Right.
If you could show them how you felt, generally speaking, compared to how they felt, generally speaking, you would have nothing but pride. Exactly. And yet pride is all attached to this ego that you've been trained to promote this persona that you're successful.
Yeah.
When I'm successful, then that person will approve of me. But since I have nothing to show for anything, I must not be successful. Well, you could have lots of things to show and not feel as good as you feel, And we would say that would not be successful. Okay. You could have lots of things to show and exist in a state of confusion, unaware of your superpowers. Your superpowers are not to necessarily create financial abundance and possessions and all these things, but it doesn't outlaw them either. You mm-hmm. can have both. But wouldn't you rather come to feeling good first?
Yes.
Spend a year learning how to feel good, learning how to acknowledge that you're receiving inspiration, realizing that you got on this call today. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that inspiration? Mm-hmm. You asked this question today. Wasn't that inspiration? You pushed past fear of what other people might think of you. Isn't mm-hmm. that something to be commended on?
Right.
You see, so you spend this year and you get better and better and better at identifying the difference between inspiration and urges.
Yeah.
Get better at feeling good, get better at accepting yourself and the conditions and other people. But you can't just go from here to there, and you wouldn't want to. You want this journey.
Yes.
So at the later stages of the journey, you can go back to this person who won't even show up in the first place because there's no one there to show you your own wobble because the wobbles are now gone.
All right.
And you'll have no one to brag to. You'll just be sharing the information freely. Sharing how you feel freely and being an example of alignment that you came here to be. Okay. You will see through the illusion of your problems. You will see through the illusion of being stuck. Feeling stuck is based in control that you're, mm-hmm. the control says you should be moving faster. You should be doing something. You should have more evidence, you see.
Yep.
The evidence is in how you feel. And so take note of how you feel this month compared to how you felt a year ago, how you felt 10 years ago, the course of your life now compared to the course of your life 10 years ago, the interests, the passions, the things that you're communicating, the people that you're attracting, the manifestation events that you're going through. Compare yourself to you, not to anyone else, and realize, this is very key here, realize that you cannot see anything from another person's perspective. That it is literally impossible. That you can't, they can show things to you and from your perception you can think they're doing well or not doing well, but you can't know how they feel and what they're thinking and the thoughts that are possibly plaguing them, that are just streaming in, that you've managed to clear out now. You've done a Herculean movement forward that from your perspective, you aren't aware of it. The changes in your vibration, the elevation of that vibration has occurred more rapidly than any random 10 billion people you could find, you see. Billions of people who have lived on this earth before and who are living on this earth now have not gone through such a rapid rise. And things are coming. And you can relish that they will be coming. And you can appreciate they'll be coming. But when they come, you can't have now. You can't have now back. It'll be different. And in this time when you are processing your belief system and feeling something that you are uncomfortable feeling, which is always in that uncomfortable feeling, always letting you know that you're looking at the illusion. What's the illusion? The illusion is you're stuck. That's the illusion. So from your perspective, perceiving that you're stuck, not feeling good about it, you can know for sure that you're focusing on a reality that does not exist. If that reality does not exist, which reality does exist? The reality that your vibration is rising so quickly and so fast that you cannot see it yet. And that you're looking for evidence that is not part of this. You're looking, it would be like a murder investigation, and the murder happened in one town, and they're looking off in another town. They're trying to find evidence of the murder in some other town. Well, that would make no sense to you. And that's what you're trying to do. You're looking back at your old life, and you're trying to say, well, if this was working for me, then I might have this evidence and this evidence and this evidence. The evidence will not be outside of you until you can find the evidence within you. So find that evidence within you, the evidence that you are acknowledging that feeling better is beneficial, that you are acting on inspiration much more of the time than you think. And while that inspiration may not be to buy a mansion, it is to do many, many things that will that are lined up for you to feel better and better and better. But you have to get the things lined up to feel better before you can get the inspiration to go somewhere else. Because the inspiration will get stronger and faster and more obvious to you as you start to feel good. And you cannot feel good by perceiving you're stuck. You have to reframe that idea of being stuck. I'm at a place in my exploration where it isn't so obvious where to go next. And don't you think so many explorers in the past have gotten to these points on their journey many times? And as they tried to push through and make it happen, they ended up shipwrecked. And those who took time to look at the stars, to wait a while for the wind to come up to their sails, who relaxed in it, and who said that this is as much a part of the exploration as the destination. The process is the exploration, not needing to come somewhere. Excellent.
Thank you.
Who else would like to jump in?
I would. I have lately been sort of obsessed, and I don't know if it's like a passion or obsession, with cults. I find, like, I've been watching this, like, a couple documentaries on Scientology. We just finished one about the Source family. But I find it, I guess I find it fascinating, one, because I feel like I was sort of, you know, part of something like that. But just the many ways that humans try to find security, I guess, in like I don't know. I was just hoping you could talk to.
So think about the yearning of humanity to find the answers, to come out of that confusion, yet believing they have to follow someone outside of them to lead them there. And so someone comes up, maybe they're charismatic, maybe they tell a good story, and maybe they are easy to follow. And so the things that they say resonate with those who are ready to spiritually grow, yet aren't ready to spiritually take sovereignty over their growth and their exploration. And they're looking outside themselves because this is how they were trained. This is how they were programmed. They believe that the teacher is the leader and that all information must be conveyed by that teacher or by the parent or by society or by their friends or by other religious leaders, you see. It is a construct of the society to look towards the leader for guidance. Well, that construct is going to be blown apart pretty soon. And the only thing that will ever matter is what you can find within in your alignment to your inner self. So you might see someone who is telling a good story, and there are aspects of their story that are resonating with you. And so naturally, because of your programming, you say, this is the person to follow. This is where the source of that information is. And even coming from us, you might perceive that the source of information is us, but the source of information is not us. It's within you. We are just opening up your beliefs enough so that you can connect stronger and stronger and stronger to your inner self, who is with you 24/7, while we're simply here a couple hours a week, you see. And as you get to understand that all intelligence comes from within, that you need not put anyone else on a pedestal, ever. Because if you put them on a pedestal, then you have to make sure that pedestal does not crack. And they have to make sure it doesn't crack. And in the making sure that pedestal doesn't crack, they have to be inauthentic. they can't be who they truly are. Because if someone saw their flaws, then no one would follow them, you see. And eventually, they cannot hold up, maintain that persona any longer, and the pedestal cracks and comes crumbling down, and everyone's left without a leader. Yet, the leader was only there to enable them to move forward on their path of self-discovery and to see that they do not need the leader, that is always within them. But how your society is created, you have these hierarchies and you have this collection of groups and these ideologies and these partisanships, and none of that is necessary because you're all doing the same thing. You are all born with the knowledge of the universe. You are all on a journey of self-discovery, and you are all here to overcome your limiting beliefs, to move forward to more love, and some of you will not go as far as others, but humanity as a mass is moving towards love, you see? And so everyone gets their exploration. And so for some people who are in what you would call a cult, which would be any group with a leader, any single group with a leader, it doesn't matter what it was. You could call the KKK a cult. You could call the Nazis a cult. You could call the Democrats a cult. It doesn't matter. If they're focusing on a leader and they're putting the leader on a pedestal saying that person knows more than I do, has all the answers, has information that I do not have, because who wants to go around looking at all the data and all the reports and all the articles and researching? Why not just latch onto one person who seems to know it all? Yet, it's still based in the fundamentals that information exists outside. Now, imagine that you thought that all information and intelligence came from within. What would that mean? Would that mean that there is no value to any article, news story, or publication, or lecture, or ideas from another leader? No. It means that you will be guided to the ones that will serve you on your specific and unique journey at the right time. And so all of you are guided here. And then there are other ideologies out there, and people get latched onto those. But if you can say, ultimately, as a sovereign being of love that I am, the creator of my reality, and I am here on a journey of self-discovery and exploration of who I truly am, and I can connect to my inner self, and that connection is strong, and I can maintain a vibration so that I do not often dip down into the stream consciousness of lack and fear. So I am in alignment more and more and more of the time. Then I know for sure that ideas will come, that thoughts will come. And if I pull on the strings of those thoughts and do the actions I can do on that inspired idea, then I will be led to the next evolution of this, knowing that I am the source. Joshua is not the source. Gary is not the source. No one outside of you is the source. You are the source, and you created your pathway to this information, which will bend your beliefs enough about yourself and about the system so that you can go on leading and teaching and exploring on your own. And while you may maintain a relationship with Gary and a relationship with these teachings, they're just a platform, a stepping stone for the next thing and the next thing for you. You see, in time, you might become bored of these teachings. You might become complacent. You might be ready to jump on to a new idea, or you might be ready to form something brand new from you, you see. Whatever it is, you're free to do any of it. If it's interesting, you can stay here. If it's something others interesting, you can follow that. If you get inspiration to do something, you can pour your heart and soul into that. And all of it is a journey of self-discovery. So cults, good. Ideology, whatever it is, good. Other leaders, good, perfect. For whoever is involved in that, because it's always a stepping stone to something else.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that I find so fascinating about it is the leaders, I don't know if it's like insanity, confidence, but just there, it's like, this is what we're all going to do. And then all these people do it. It's like, no matter what it is, with Scientology, it's like, and we're all going to believe in, you know, an alien planet. And then they go, okay.
And do you think it's the cult followers, they're so easily led, or is it humans living in the old approach to life that are fundamentally based in the idea that they must be led from someone outside them because they are incapable of charting their own path? It is the old approach to life that causes so many to follow so many others. In the new approach to life, where you understand your sovereignty and that you're the creator of your reality and that there is no wrong in any of it, and you're guided by your inner self, feeding you thoughts and feeding you ideas and feeding you inspiration, well, then there's no one to follow. There is no one to follow. And you need not have anyone follow you. You are not a leader in the old approach to life definition of leader. You're a leader in the example. And that example is your alignment and your decision and bravery to chart your own course. And knowing that you have full freedom to do any of that as far as you can allow yourself to go. That no one is going to persecute you. No one is going to judge you. No one is going to do it. And if they do, it's simply your wobble that's being presented to you, which is a very good thing.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Joshua, can I piggyback off of that?
Yes.
Okay, this is perfect. Now, what if you're the leader, me, because I'm the mom, and I have two young adult children who are used to coming to me for all the answers, and I'm trying to step back and allow them to make their own decisions and things like that, but yet I get pulled into it.
Are you the leader?
Well, I'm not, no. But in the old approach of life, I would be.
The old approach of life, you're the leader. Mm-hmm. You tell them what to do. You give them positive feedback. When you perceive they are doing what you say to do, you put yourself up as the expert, having all the answers, yet internally knowing you have no answers for them, you see. And then you have to create this persona that says, I got it figured out, so you should follow me. Because you want them to follow you because you feel safer. You personally feel safer if they follow what you tell them to do. And you personally feel vulnerable if they do something else, you see. And if your persona as leader is questioned, you feel negative emotion. You feel fear. You say, if they question my leadership, then they will not follow it anymore. Then I have no control over them. Then they might do whatever they might do, and I'll feel more negative emotion. And you can know about that feeling of negative emotion, your inner self who's guiding you, only you and no one but you, personally you, is saying, you're looking at this as an illusion. What is actually happening is the more you try to control them, the more they will look to others to be controlled by. The less you control them, in fact, the less you care about them, allowing them to just turn out however they turn out, and you do not care. You don't care if they become homeless. You don't care if they finish school. You don't care if they get married or not. You do not care. Because if you care, you have to get yourself wedged in there somehow. And you have to get upset. And they have to see you upset. And they have to modify their activity or their identity. So if they modify their activity, well, then they can succumb to your fear. Not to their fear, to your fear. They're succumbing to your fear. If they modify their identity, it means that they have to, if they do this thing you don't want them to do, then they have to know that you do not appreciate them as they are. And so they'd have to change who they are to win your appreciation. And many children will give up eventually trying to achieve your appreciation because it becomes too impossible, you see. And they have a calling to live this life as they intended. And if you're getting in the way of that calling, then they have to disconnect from you or give up what they're called to do. But if they give up what they're called to do, they're going to live with this inner conflict. These are the things you don't want. What you think you want is completely different than what you truly want. And so if they say, I'm going to go date this person who you think is not suitable, you say, it's an experience, and this will lead to inevitably their true desire.
Right.
But you can't cut out the experiences just to save yourself.
And I've done that, and I've done that over since I found your teachings in October. I've always kind of, if my kids have come to me, I've kind of given them my opinion, but I've always given them the freedom. But since I found you in October, I have done that, and I have pulled away and given them their freedom, and whatever choices that I helped them before, I just asked them if that's what they want. But my question is, they still seem to come to me, even though I'm trying to like know and what do you want to do? And so what do I have to do more?
How old is your youngest child?
20.
And this is now May. So you've gone 7 months with this new approach to parenting, but the prior 19 years, so you can see the momentum of that first 19 years. Just like in Stephen's feeling stuck because things aren't changing quickly, you have to let it play out. You're experimenting with this idea of seeing them as the creator of their reality.
Correct.
And the ship's not going to turn that quickly. There's a little momentum because they have this belief. Can you imagine that? How strong that belief is after day after day after day after day, 20 years of seeing you as their leader. And all of a sudden, the leader abdicates the throne and says, guess what? I was never the leader. I was the Oz behind the curtain, pretending I was the leader. You are actually the leader of your reality. And all those things that I ever told you, they were all for your benefit, and they were done with love. And yet, I never had the answers. I was making it up as I was going along, because that's what my parents did, and that's what their parents did, and that's what everyone's parents did. This is the system we're into. And so look at you. Now you're 20. You can't keep running home to mommy. You're going to run home to somebody else, be it a mate or a boss or a government leader. And this is not what you truly want, nor is it the experience you came to. You came to be the leader of your life. And so what would the leader of your life do in this situation?
Perfect.
And I would say, just tell me, Mom. Just come on, tell me. No, I'm not going to tell you. What would you do? Don't ask me. I'm unique. I'm not you. I was born years before you to a completely different earth and a different society. And the rules that I learned have nothing to do with what you're here to learn. Those rules were for me. Your rules are completely different. Would you come to me to help you with your computer or your internet or any of the technology? Maybe not. That is something you. Would you come to me to help you about your passions and interests? Those are unique to you, not to me. I can't even see what you find interesting in any of that. You see? And this is what the generation gap is. The music that they listen to is completely different than the music that other generations listen to. And if you were to go back 60 years or 80 years or 100 years, this time on the charts of 100 years ago, that music would be grating to you. It would be unbearable because your vibration is completely different than the vibration of those that found it popular back then, because it spoke to what they were going through and their vibration. The music you listen to as a teenager is on a completely different wavelength to what they might listen to. You see, and while some can appreciate all kinds of different music, it's a different vibration because they're a different vibration. Now, that's an obvious example, but the colors they see are different than what you see. They're brighter, they're crisper, you see. The aromas, the tastes, they have different taste buds than you do. They're evolved to a completely different level, and yet you're still trying to train them as you were trained. And you were trained as your parents were trained. And those parents were trained as their parents were trained, you see? And the world, as you can see, is obviously different. And so the fear is that something bad will happen to them. And to solve that fear, you want to guide them. But you have to know, and they have to know, that all of their guidance is received from their inner selves and from source and from the pre-birth intentions they set. And if you let them acknowledge that guidance, and if you treat them not just as equals, but actually as superiors, you are equipped to deal with this world now. You are ready for it. You have more talents and skills that are useful in this reality. And learn to trust those, and that will serve you better than anything that I could ever tell you.
Perfect. Thank you.
We have time for one more question. Who would like to ask the silliest question ever asked that will turn out to be the most profound question?
Okay, I'll jump. What is the purpose of relationships, especially romantic relationships? Why do we have this male-female thing going on in the world, and what is the purpose? Does it serve general relationships? I think I have an understanding, but romantic ones, from my new perspective, I'm beginning to wonder what we're doing there.
All relations are co-creative. Co-creative. You create something together. Romantic relations have the potential to co-create offspring. The very foundation and basis of this, because without this basics, but if there is no need to create offspring, if the offspring were created in test tubes, for instance, were manufactured, you would still have romantic relationships. You would still have the experience and the exploration of sexual interests, of being either completely inauthentic in a relationship or being completely authentic or anywhere in between. What would that be like to be inauthentic, to have this persona and to create this persona that you become attractive to someone else? Well, you'll become attractive to someone who's seeking this thing that you are not. And so it'll be the exploration of the inauthentic relationship. Now, what would it be like to be in a relationship where you're absolutely authentic, where you did not move an inch for the other person to assuage their fears? You could be who you were and allow them to be who you are. And in that authenticity, you have no wobble in that vibration. So you can exist in a state of intense love for them without needing their love for you. Now, they could also play within that game as well. How authentic could they be? How much could they accept you? They could be completely inauthentic, and that would be fine. Because you would accept them in their fears, knowing that they couldn't fully be accepting of themselves, yet they're accepting of you, you see? Or you could play with someone who's also completely authentic. But if that were true, then they would not be considering your fears. They wouldn't change who they were. And could you possibly be in a relationship like that? Could you possibly be in a relationship that had no rules other than the rule is, today, I accept you, you accept me, and we're having a fun time. And we'll see what happens tomorrow. There's no attachment to any outcome of this.
Oh, yeah.
So we come together to explore this idea of inauthenticity or authenticity. We have fun or not. We have conflict or not. And it's all exploration. Mm-hmm. And Every aspect of it, every aspect, the sexual component, the cuddle component, the adventure component, mm-hmm. the doing separate things component.
Right.
Everything you get to play around in.
Yeah.
In a sense of such reality that it moves you to emotion that you wouldn't have if that partner was not there. If you were alone in your apartment by yourself, you wouldn't have the expansive experiences. And you can, and the ability to navigate that every step of the way. How am I feeling? Am I feeling love? Which means I'm in alignment. Am I feeling it for them? That's my intended purpose. Am I feeling it from them? That's actually the illusion. It's actually because I'm in alignment, I'm feeling this love, and I'm using them as my excuse to feel the love that's coming from source.
Yeah.
You see? And I'm playing with this idea. And am I needing them to express love? Or am I allowing them to express it or not?
Mm-hmm.
And yep. can I feel love when they're in fear? Mm-hmm. That's what you get to play with. And you mm-hmm. couldn't do it in any other relationship. Now,
right.
you could have a best friend.
Yes.
It's exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to explore?
Yep.
You can explore things with your best friend that you cannot explore with your mate.
Yep.
You could also have an affair. You could have a third romantic relationship, and then the dynamics of that play into it.
Mm-hmm.
The guilt that you might feel, the way society, the pull of the other person, the fear of loss of the existing person. You see all these things. It doesn't matter. You get to play with society creates these constructs, but the constructs yep. are obviously not paid attention to that degree. People yeah. are suffering through miserable relationships. People are not having sex. People are in affairs. People are emotionally connected to their friends more than their mate. It's still yeah. an exploration.
Yeah.
And they're trying to keep it within this framework of what the society says is good.
Yeah.
But all of that is an illusion. Yeah. All of the constructs are something you've made yourself and you're agreeing to adapt to. And if you agree right. to, that's great. And if you don't agree to, you'll have more potential for experiences.
Yeah.
And you may not be willing to have those experiences.
Right.
But some would be.
Yeah.
And so you cannot condemn those that would have the experiences just yeah. because their behavior causes Doesn't you to matter. Feel unsafe.
Exactly. So my question, and I really appreciate all that. It's actually a lot of confirmation there. But I guess the question comes from the place of if love, if the feeling of love, and maybe if it actually comes from your connection to source, not from the other person, which is what I've been really understanding more about, the ability, your desire to give love instead of receive love, then that does leave me with a question that why can't I be in my apartment and feel, you know, it I get a little.
No, you can be. On that. You can be, but you can't explore a relationship.
Yes.
That's the exploration that you're choosing.
Okay.
You can be in your apartment and be in pure bliss. You could be on a park bench and be in pure bliss.
Right.
You could be in a tent and be in pure bliss.
Right.
And people find it often easier to be alone rather than to engage in these relationships. But it's only exactly. because they're choosing limited perspectives.
Yeah.
If everyone was in a higher perspective and a higher vibration, they would attract those that were meant to come along. And some of those that are meant to come along
will
push you by their behavior into opening up a new belief system because of that experience allows you to expand and see things from another perspective. You might look back and say, that person was bad.
Yeah.
But when you return to the non-physical, you say, that was the plan all along. You see? And the only reason you think it was bad is because it was a resistant.
Yes.
view of them at the time.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Excellent. Thank you.
We've enjoyed this conversation. You are all brilliant. You are all doing wonderful. You are moving far faster than you perceive yourself to be. You have no reference points to see how your vibration is moving because it's an internal thing. If you were driving your car on a freeway and you could see the landscape passing you by, you would know that you're speeding off into the direction of your destination. But if you were in a white room and the entire room was moving, you'd have no reference points. You couldn't feel it move. You couldn't see anything move. And then all of a sudden, the white room turns into the landscape and you realize how far you've come. And so if you can be in that white room, not needing any landscape to pass you by, just feeling good, having faith that it will all come to you, then you can create whatever you want in that white room. And then as you evolve to the next stages, you will come quickly into events and experiences that will allow you to further your investigation of yourself. And we tell you that those things are happening all day long, every day, anyway. You're just not seeing them for what they are. They're happening many, 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 many times a day, all day long, all the time. You're not just seeing them as landscape. You don't realize these feelings you're having, that fear you're processing, are all moving you swiftly to where you want to go. But where you want to go is often different than where you truly desire to be. And where you truly desire to be is actually back in this moment, enjoying what this moment has to offer. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. Awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks, everyone.
Fantastic. Thank you guys for being here. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great questions.
That was a good
moment.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bye,
thank
everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. To everybody. Bye. Bye.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you'd like to find us on Facebook, we have a private group just for Joshua listeners. It's called The Friends of Joshua. So just search that in Facebook and ask to join and we'll add you. Also, if you'd like to help us spread Joshua's teachings, the very best way you can do that is to leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast. Also, if you can subscribe to the podcast, that would help a lot. We're ranking higher and higher each week as we go forward. And this is really how people find us. So thanks for everything you do, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.